Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm J. Glenn Evans, producer of Poets West at KSER 90.7 FM, coming from Everett, Washington. The origins of Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, are not clear. It began around the time of the Civil War to commemorate the lives of the veterans who died during that bloody war. It has come to symbolize honoring all veterans, whether they fought in the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, two World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, or the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Memorial Day historically was also on May 30th, until it was changed to the last Monday in May. It provides Americans with a three-day weekend for play, for shopping, and maybe an opportunity to commemorate our war dead. Our history shows that we have been engaged in one war after another. The most decorated Marine in U.S. history, Major General Smedley Butler, wrote a little book called War is a Racket, in which he describes how the military-industrial complex makes money for Wall Street and American corporations. Major General Butler knew about the folly of war, enlisting in the Spanish-American War at the age of 16 by lying about his age. He went on to see military action in the Boxer Rebellion in China and in armed conflicts in Mexico, Honduras, Haiti, and World War I. And later, he was reputed to have put down an attempted coup against FDR in the 1930s. In today's program, Georgia McDade leads off with a statement in poetry.
My name is Georgia McDade. The title of this one is called Power People, and I wrote it in 2003. Now it's as relevant as ever. I wonder what presidents, premiers, prime ministers, and kings say when officials tell them there's a casualty in war. Do they say, damn, shucks, wow, I never expected this? Do they curse or bow their heads, say a prayer? Do they ask some superior being, why? Do they think about the moms and dads, sisters and brothers, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, wives and husbands, cousins and friends? Do they think about the voids created because of the departures? Me, I never want anybody to go to war. I always think communication can solve the problem. That's genuine, as in honest communication. I won't argue about the wars before my coming, especially the one they said would end all wars. But since I've been here, I don't think there's been a war that had to be. In all of them, there is fighting, killing, and then signing a treaty. I say let's fast forward and skip the killing. Let's talk. You see, I pray the moms and dads, sisters and brothers, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, wives and husbands, cousins and friends will be okay. Yet I know they, nor the returning soldiers, will never be the okay they were before the soldiers went. There are the dead about whom we can do nothing but express condolences and give a sum of money. There are the physically maimed for whom we can pay medical bills, usually. There are the mentally ill for whom we may pay medical bills, but often send on their way, only to read their obituaries after they've killed someone or ones and themselves. And then there are all of those who have no visible scars. We don't keep track of them, of the changes, the broken relationships, the nightmares. This madness is much too much. It can drive a sane person mad. I wish I didn't wonder what the presidents, premiers, prime ministers, and kings say when officials tell them there's a casualty in war.
The effects of war take its toll on our soldiers. Too often, it is in the form of suicide or violence. J. Andrew Rodriguez speaks of one of those good men.
The inspiration for this poem came from a newspaper article. The Father and the 45. I'm listening to the newspaper article as I read about the Episcopal priest who shot himself after being cornered by his Vietnam demons. The demons who took his legs the day he stood on a landmine a long time ago. Two prosthetics, one purple heart, one bronze star, one 45 caliber bullet nestled in the chamber. I'm listening for taps. The priest typed out taps on his laptop computer, an apology to his family for not being strong, for refusing to surrender to the demons, for going out on his own terms. The demons got lucky when we invaded Iraq, and the Marines were dropped by snipers, rocket-propelled grenades, and landmines, just like the one he stepped on. Count them dropping. He did. 35 Marines dead in one day, only slightly more noticed than his legs, he said. This second lieutenant never lost a Marine under his command. Just his legs. More Marines, more soldiers, more children, more mothers, more fathers, more dead. And more demons coming for him through the television. Cable TV news, 24-hour-a-day carnage coverage. He couldn't run away fast enough. We have good legs, and we can't run away fast enough either. Rockets all over again. Bombs all over again. Helicopters all over him, carrying him back to the jungle that still hides its landmines. I'm listening for taps as one proud Marine cocks the 45, closes his eyes, holds the pistol to his chest, and whispers a petition for forgiveness. I'm listening as the bullet leaves the chamber and sails like a bronze star through the barrel of the pistol on its way to a wounded heart, on its way to take a good man home. I'm listening for taps.
John Akins is a Vietnam veteran who has written about his experiences in both poetry and memoir.
The Order of War. 1. Boot Camp, San Diego, 1967. The herd falls in formation, learns how to march. Four lines across, columns of troops spaced with precision. The recruits taper from tall down to short. Each troop stares into the glare of a fresh buzzed head. Me and other little guys grab at the end of the platoon. Up and down the grinder, the back row weaves a do-si-do. Our platoon pulls up at a graduation parade. The drill instructors command us to watch platoons that look tight. Eyes straight ahead, front rows watch boot marines strut. Position in back, we can't see. We eye for the area. A glimmer of chrome flashes from an officer's jeep. 2. Vietnam, Quang Tri Province, 1968. Our strung-out column hacks the jungle for days. Us little guys walk point up front of the line. Maybe your gut steers a route past harm's way. I move like a teenager seeking his first dance. My squad leader is anxious to score before dark. He brushes me aside, barrels into the burst from an AK-47. He goes home early. I walk point for the duration. Slip dense tangle smooth and quiet. Listen for a click, a rustle, a cough. Watch for a glint, see a blade move, toes flex to feel any wire. Muzzles flash, rounds crack near, swing left, swing right. Front guys return fire, back guys hug the ground. 3. Vietnam War Memorial, 2001. Now the ranks are tight. Every line faced even. Troops form columns in chronological order. Each troop marks time. Each troop holds position. Each troop day is rigid. I look for names in the gleam of chiseled granite.
Saigon, it was all gone. Same coke machines as the streets I grew on. Down a mesquite canyon, come walking along the ridge. Me and the brothers under the bridge. Campsites, an hour's walk from the nearest road to town. There's too much brush in the canyon for the CHP choppers to touch down. Ain't looking for nothing, just wanna live. Me and the brothers under the bridge. I'm a Santa Ana's man, the dry brush of light. Billy Devon got bun up in his own campfire one night. We buried his body in the white stone high below the ridge. Me and the brothers under the bridge. At another town, in the street light, over nothing you end up on.
That was Bruce Springsteen from his album 18 Tracks. And Keith Holyoake speaks about our war dead.
You may remember that John Kerry, back in the Vietnam era, when he was addressing Congress, made a remark along the lines of, how are you going to explain this to the last man killed in a war that was a mistake? And that was the inspiration for this poem. This poem is called For the Last Soldier Killed in a War Since Forgotten. A bullet through a soldier's brain keeps him safe from pain, and dust will serve as well as mud to cover blood. Let wind and rain wear away the stain on foreign ground, and never let some lingering regret disturb the holidays back home. Don't exhume old grieving now, that grave's forgotten anyhow. A baffled king who spoke with God sent him under sod. Brought him home on a midnight plane to be lost again. His father stood and dropped the single clod. Listened to it echo long until that too was gone. After grave and heart were closed, he dreamed the ghost of his soldier son came back to ask if the war was won. Won or lost, it's all the same once no one's left to blame. The king is dead. Long live the king, the children sing. It's such a shame the dead can't join our game. Wrap Peter in a shiny flag to make a body bag and lay him out beneath the hill. Then he keeps still. We let him stay and softly, softly steal away.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. This is J. Glenn Evans of Points West from KSER 90.7 FM in Everett, Washington, hosting a program with poems for Memorial Day. Poetry is used on solemn occasions, as in commemorating the dead. One of the most famous poems that came out of the Civil War was The Bivouac of the Dead, written by Theodore O'Hara in 1847. O'Hara wrote the poem to remember lives lost in the Mexican-American War, but then it became associated with the Civil War. Bivouac of the Dead by Theodore O'Hara. The muffled drum's sad roll has beat the soldier's last tattoo. No more on life's parade shall meet that brave and fallen few. On fame's eternal camping ground, their silent tents do spread, and glory guards with solemn round the bivouac of the dead. No rumor of the foe's advance now swells upon the wind, nor troubled thought at midnight haunts of loved ones left behind. No vision of the morrow's strife the warrior's dreams alarms, no braying horn or screaming a fife at dawn shall call to arms. Their shriveled swords are red with rust, their plumed heads are bowed, their haughty banner, trailed in dust, is now their martial shroud. And plenteous funeral tears have washed the red stains from each brow, and proud forms by battle gashed are free from anguish now. Jim Lutz has a poem for today's Southern soldier.
This is a poem I wrote for a friend of mine who was from Alabama. Tears for a Southern soldier. You are the sentinel from the South. I listen to your lips press live oak lessons to my ears. Magnolias and sultry moss. A literature of loss and humid observations. Gray and ghost-like. An exhausted soldier waiting for retreat. I know men like you. They wring the last tears of meaning from each day, like echoes from the final shot of war. I wish you peace. May angels of surrender bring you love. I wish you solace on an angry earth.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone to young men, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone for soldiers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever? All the soldiers gone, long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? A long, long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long
Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
The Kingston Trio with a song from the 1960s. And Vietnam War veteran Roy Seitz on what war does to the soul.
Dinner time. Dad gets it. He knows the look. Stuffs a drink in my hand. Women cackle just inside. Big day. Roy's home. I stare. Meat on the barbecue. Home a few days. December 73. SoCal. He knows of the napalm. The orphanage. That day. Medium rare. The voices followed me home. I have to get back. A few doors up, a wrench hits a driveway. I keep my feet, will myself to stick. He turns the meat over, glass drained. He felt me shudder. He had to. Pulls hard on a cigarette. The women cackle just inside. I shake, right thumb reaches 3 o'clock, the safety. Hands empty, M16 a few days gone. Turned in. The voices are here to stay. If I had a grenade, I'd be in control. That would get them quiet. Ice slides down drain glasses. They cackle. Big day. Roy's home. Dad says, on Iwo, it was them and us. No kids. You'll learn to block the smell. The voices, here to stay. If I had a grenade, I'd be in control. Big day. Roy's home.
And Charles Henderson, another Vietnam War veteran.
It's averages. We are the statistics. The faceless numbers filling out the headlines continued on 12A. We are the uniform file slogging toward tomorrow, multitudes jostling on the street, swaying inside the buses. We are the shifting queue, papers in hand, legs aching, waiting to be processed. We are humankind, captured in a sentence, buried in a paragraph, bound within a text, eulogized in a soundbite.
William Scott Galasso urges us to remember all who die in war and those left behind.
Ring those bells. Let one bell ring for every soldier killed, for every MIA, and one bell each for the walking wounded, for the memory pain of their nightmares. And let one bell toll for each widow left behind, and one for the orphans they will never know. And let one bell toll for each civilian slain, a victim of circumstance. Let the sound rise up. Let it clamor until the deaf ears in Washington are blasted open and all the boys come home.
Poets have a long tradition of speaking out on war, and Ed Mass brings us one from the Chinese ancients.
This is my version of Facing Snow by Du Fu, Chinese poet from the 8th century. One of my favorite poets. One of the earliest of protest poets. Facing Snow by Du Fu. Many new ghosts weeping over battles. An old man alone singing his songs. Tattered clouds hanging down over sunset. Battered snow whirling round in the wind. Nothing is left but the dregs of wine and lingering crimson embers of fire. Reports from the border have all gone silent. I sit alone, tracing my words in the air.
We also associate poppies with Memorial Day. The most famous war memorial poem was written by a Canadian physician who died in the waning days of the First World War. Lieutenant John Alexander McCrae died in France on January 28, 1918. He was a poet as well as physician and soldier. School kids in Canada still memorize his poem. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row. that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarcely heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. And my poem based on the poppy. Three poppies. Bought three red poppies from an old man. The wind beat him in the face. He must have stood there since dawn. His face was red from cold or drink. A stubble sprang from his cheeks. His eyes were shaded by bushes of gray. He asked me why I bought three poppies. Just a mood that struck me, said I. As I left, he called out to me, "Those three poppies are my three sons." Ed Mask closes this program.
The dead are not a call to arms. Our fallen brothers are not bullets. Our fallen sisters are not bombs. Our children lying in the earth, our mothers and fathers, our friends, are not rallying cries. The dead we know and do not know are our memory of eternity. They remember every moment forever. All our loves and hates they remember, and every act is repeated forever. Our dead fill eternity with us. And when we forget eternity, and fearful twist our dead into weapons, those weapons only close the sky and explode on ourselves alone. We must make a place for our dead, with doors always open so they may come and go as they please and continue bringing so much of what we need to stay alive.
That's it for Sprouts. You've heard Poets West with a group of poets speak on Memorial Day. Production assistance came from KSER 90.7 FM in Everett, Washington. Music you heard was from Bruce Springsteen's album, 18 Tracks, and the Kingston Trio's Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm J. Glenn Evans for Poets West, a weekly radio program of poetry, stories, and interviews, produced at the studios of KSER 90.7 FM in Everett, Washington. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.